Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
On January 2nd, 1956, so you're going to have to slide back a few years. January 2nd, 1956 was the day that 29-year-old Jim Elliot had waited for most of his life. He jumped out of bed, dressed as quickly as he could, and got ready for the short flight over the thick Ecuador jungle. Almost 3 years of jungle ministry and many hours of planning and praying had led Jim to this very day. Within hours, he and four other missionaries would be setting up camp in the territory of a dangerous and uncivilized Indian tribe known then as the Akas. The Aka Indians had killed all outsiders ever caught in their areas. And even though it was dangerous, Jim Elliot had no doubt that God wanted him to tell the Akas about Jesus. As a young boy growing up in Portland, Oregon, Jim Elliot listened carefully as visiting missionaries told their stories of life on faraway missions fields. He asked them questions and dreamed about being a missionary himself someday. It made him sad that so many people in other countries died without ever knowing that Jesus loved them. So on February 2nd, 1952, just 4 years earlier, Jim Elliot waved goodbye to his parents and boarded a boat for the 18-day trip to San Pedro, California, down to Quito, Ecuador. He and his missionary partner, Pete Fleming, first spent a year in Quito learning to speak Spanish. They studied hard to learn the language and to fit in, and their hard work finally paid off. In 6 months, both were speaking Spanish well enough to move to the small Indian village of Shandia, where they took the place of the retiring missionary. When they arrived in Shandia, they also had to learn and to speak the Aka language. 3 years later, many Quechua Indians had become faithful Christians. Jim now began to feel it was time to tell the Akas about Jesus. The Aka had killed many Quechua Indians. They had also killed several workers at an oil company drilling site near their territory. The oil company had actually closed the site because of everyone's fear of working in that area. Jim knew that the only way to stop the Akas from killing was to tell them about Jesus. Jim and the four other Ecuador missionaries began to plan a way to show the Akas this love and to show them that they were friendly. Nate Saint, a missionary supply pilot, came with a way to lower a bucket filled with supplies down to the people on the ground while flying above them. He thought that this would be the perfect way to win the trust of the Akas without putting anyone in danger. They began dropping gifts for the Akas. They also used an amplifier to speak out friendly Aka phrases. After many months, the Akas even sent a gift back up in the bucket to the plane. Jim and the other missionaries now felt that the time had finally come to meet the Akas face to face. One day, while flying over the Aka territory, Nate spotted a beach that looked long enough for the plane to land on. He planned to land the plane there, and the men would build a treehouse to stay safe in until friendly contact could be made. The missionaries were flown in one by one and dropped off on the Aka beach. Nate then flew over the Aka village and called for the Akas to come to the beach. After 4 days, an Aka man and two women appeared. It was not easy for them to understand each other since the missionaries only knew a few Aka phrases. They shared a meal with them, and then Nate took the man up for a flight in the airplane. The missionaries tried to show sincere friendship and asked them to bring others along the next time they came. For the next 2 days, the missionaries waited for the other Akas to return. Finally, on the sixth day, two Aka women walked out of the jungle. Jim and Pete excitedly jumped into the water and waded over to them. As they got closer, however, these women did not appear friendly. Jim and Pete almost immediately heard a terrifying cry behind them as they turned to see a group of Aka warriors with their spears raised and ready to throw. Jim Elliot reached for the gun that was in his pocket. He had to decide instantly if he should use it, but he knew that he couldn't. Each of the missionaries had promised that they would not kill an Aka who did not know Jesus to save himself from being killed. Within seconds, the Aka warriors threw their spears, killing the missionaries, Ed McCauley, Roger Yodarian, Nate Saint, Pete Fleming, and Jim Elliott. Late in the afternoon on Sunday, January 8th, 6 days after Operation Aka began, Elizabeth Elliott, Jim's wife, waited by the two-way radio to hear Nate and his wife discuss how things had gone that day. But there was no call. As the evening turned to night, the wives grew worried. They knew the news was not good. The next morning, another missionary pilot flew over the beach to look for the men. He saw only the badly damaged plane on the beach. News quickly reached the world. The news quickly spread around the world about the five missing missionaries. A United States search team went to the beach, found the missionaries' bodies, and buried them. Many believed that Operation Aka ended there on the beach, but it didn't. In less than 2 years, Elizabeth Elliott and her daughter Valerie and Rachel Saint, Nate's sister, were able to actually move to the Aka village. Many Akas became Christians. Today, they are a friendly tribe of Indians. Missionaries, including Nate Saint's son and his family, still live among the Akas today. During his life, Jim Elliott longed for more people to become missionaries. In his death, however, he probably inspired more people to go to other countries and to share the love of Jesus than he ever could have in his life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that first that we have the opportunity to be together in your name, and that where we gather together, you promise to come and to be with us. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to just open our ears and our hearts to the things that you want to say tonight, to allow us to hear your heart, to challenge us, to help us to grow, and to be stronger as we leave this place tonight. We ask for your anointing and your presence, and that your words would be spoken in a very clear way this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jim Elliott and his missionary friends left a lasting legacy. They left a footprint that for 50 years has lasted. 35 years after it lasted, that footprint impacted my life. I remember reading through Jim Elliott's journals and the story of him weekly and monthly and yearly preparing for this mission. And I wanted to do that. And I saw his devotion to the Lord, and it challenged me in my devotion to the Lord. And I saw his straight-heartedness, and that he wasn't going to swerve to the left, and he wasn't going to swerve to the right, and he was focused on God's goal. And as I saw that, I decided that that's how I was going to live as well. And I wanted to be a missionary as well, and I wanted to have my life matter and to count as well. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of leaving a footprint that matters. And we specifically want to examine the goals of, and where we're going to shoot for is this idea of what is legacy, and how does it work, and how does it operate in our lives, and what is our legacy? And then I want to challenge us to look at our lives through an eternal lens, rather than through the earthly lens that we look at our lives through all the time, or through the eyes of what other people, how they see us, or through the just the culture around us and how we see life in general. So I want us to see our lives through an eternal lens, and then I want to begin to reinvest in the legacy that God has given to each one of us, and that we'll talk about as we continue to go through this the next couple of weeks. Over the past few years, if you're paying attention, there's been an incredible focus on the footprints that human beings leave, the carbon footprint especially, but digitally the footprint that is being left. And so all over the place, we hear all the time what kind of footprint we're leaving, and specifically with ideas to the carbon footprint. And so is that video ready to go? Can we show that video? Okay, let's look at this.
Now that you've found your paradise, this is your kingdom to command. You can go outside and polish your car, or sit by the fire in your Shangri-La. Here's your reward for working so hard. Gone are the lavatories in the backyard. Gone are the days when you dreamed of that car. You just want to sit in your Shangri-La.
We all have a carbon footprint which contributes to climate change. To discover yours and how to reduce it, visit direct.gov.uk/act on CO2.
So there's lots of pressure being put on us to start measuring how big of a carbon footprint that we're leaving, and what kind of a digital footprint are we leaving, and what kind of life are we living, and how is it going to possibly impact the people around us or the world around us? How's it going to change the earth? How's it going to change our world? And more people are conscious of the imprint that our lives are leaving, probably now than ever before. And people, I would even say, are obsessed with this idea of what kind of footprint we're leaving and where we're going. It's interesting to note, though, that the majority of the world, the ones who are really focusing on our footprint are Westerners, are Americans. The rest of the world isn't looking at their footprint, but in the UK and in Europe and in the United States, we're hyper-focusing on this carbon issue and if we're destroying the earth or not. And the truth is, human beings have been leaving footprints forever. It's not a new phenomenon. It's suddenly the focus of topic these days, but it isn't new. And in fact, I would say that God has created us to leave a footprint, not necessarily looking at the carbon footprint, but leaving a mark with our lives. You know, we all have had that experience of leaving a footprint, whether it's in the sand like that, or in Colorado, it's usually in the snow, you leave your footprint, or sometimes you leave your footprint in the cement. I'll never forget a few years ago, my son Joshua was about 4 years old. We were living in Jerusalem, and they had just poured this nice new cement, and we walked past, made sure nobody was looking, and stuck our hands down in the cement, and wrote our names next to it, Dad and Joshua, as if everybody's going to know who Dad is. And I knew for sure they were going to catch us, but I just wanted someday to be able to go back and see that mark. You know, it's interesting how God's created us. We want to leave a mark, whether it's carving our initials in a tree or seeing our footprints in the sand or in the snow. Somehow we want to see that we were there. I like to call it the Kilroy was there syndrome. Do y'all remember Kilroy from the 60s? It's that thing that God's bred inside of us, that our lives matter, that our lives count, and we want to leave a mark that says we were important, that we were here, that somehow we didn't just pass through the earth and nothing happened, but actually we passed through the earth and something changed. So as a missionary in Israel, I remember very clearly that moment when I was speaking with another missionary and they said something to the effect, I just want my life to matter. I want my life to count. And you're going to laugh when you say that. But when I heard them say that, I looked at her and I thought, me too. I do too. And I think it was the first time I realized we all have that inside of us. We want our lives to matter. In fact, you see it more on the mission field maybe than you even do in this kind of a setting. Because the people that go to the mission field are those ones that are willing to tear down anything to make their life count and to do something to make their mark. And that's a motivation that God puts in us. That's something that comes from the heart of God and that is planted as a seed into our hearts. God has planted in each one of our hearts, in each man and woman and child's hearts, the seeds of greatness. And that is what, as it begins to grow, pushes us from the inside and causes us to move ourselves into a position where we're going to make a difference in this person's life or in this situation or at that job. My life is going to count and it's going to change the world. Footprints are the stuff that legacies are made out of. The way that we live our life, the footprints that we leave with our life are the things that our legacies are made out of, our stories, our life stories. Legacy, by definition, means a gift, a grant, a benefaction or a donation, an award left to those beyond you or those that are coming after you. That's the definition of legacy. So what we're thinking is generationally now. A legacy affects generations. It isn't just for me and that I would have a legacy. It's to actually impact other people. It's to impact another generation. Spiritually, a legacy is that passing of the baton to the next generation, the people that will follow in our footsteps. It's a faith that's lived out. It's a spiritual insights that are shared and wisdom and spiritual gifts that are used and given that impacts other people. It impacts them spiritually, and it leads them and it leaves them with a trail of faith to follow. Our legacies are the trails of faith that others will follow, whether it's our children or our grandchildren, our nephews and nieces, a friend, a neighbor. Our legacies are what others will follow in faith. And God's planted those seeds in our hearts. In a couple of weeks from now, we'll be observing my mother's 4-year anniversary passing. So 4 years ago, she passed away. And like all funerals, at the funeral, most of the comments of the people that were standing there to give their eulogies to my mom, most of those comments centered around her impact on them, the things that she had given to them via her personality, via spiritual input. And each one of those people stood up and they shared these amazing things that impacted them still to today. So it's interesting, still when I'm with my family today, and I'm sure if you've had a close relative pass or a friend, you know what I'm talking about. Still to today, we'll sit together as a family and we'll start reminiscing, and we still share things that my mom said that impacted our lives, things that have changed us and made us who we are. It's her legacy. And each one of us carries with us that legacy. Legacy isn't hard to recognize in our own lives, to see the marks that somebody else has laid there. We can recognize the influence of legacy. And whether it's a teacher or it's a Jim Elliot or it's a Sunday school teacher, a parent, we can see those marks and we recognize them very clearly. It's because of them that I am who I am today. It's the legacy. It's the faith that I'm carrying because of that person or those person's legacies. The hard part is, and the challenge is, living a life that leaves a footprint that matters. Living a life that creates a dynamic, powerful legacy that possibly for generations is going to be remembered. That's the hard part, and that's where we're kind of heading tonight. The truth is, we all leave footprints. We all have a legacy. We all are right now building the legacy so that when we pass, this is who we're going to be remembered as. And there is no such thing as not leaving a legacy. Wouldn't that be something if you could do that? There's no such thing as that. You are leaving a legacy. You are building it right now. And the way, the choices that we make right now, the way that we live our life, impacts that legacy. It creates that legacy and builds it. And it either creates a legacy that is not so good and that is remembered maybe with shame. It's a legacy that of a life that wasn't grasping on to God, a life that didn't take advantage of the gifts that God had poured into them and focused on the wrong things, maybe was used improperly. Or it's a legacy that's a good legacy that honors God, that actually honors the gift that he placed in you or in us, the gift that he gave to you through Jesus Christ. It can be a good one of a life lived well, of a life that has taken the gift that God has placed in them and lived to the fullest. So there are lots of different kinds of footprints that we can leave, but the point is we're leaving a footprint very much like we saw in the video. I found interesting in that video that nobody didn't leave a footprint. They were all leaving a footprint. And I'm not talking about a carbon footprint. We all are leaving feet prints, footprints. And what we do with our lives right now determines whether we're going to have a good legacy that impacts the next generation and gives them a road to walk on, or it doesn't. That's dramatic stuff. That's a dramatic thought. So the question is, what kind of footprint matters? We can have a carbon footprint. We can have a digital footprint. We can have an ego footprint where it's all about me and my personality and making a name for ourselves and building a kingdom for ourselves. Or spiritually speaking, a spiritual legacy. We can have a spiritual legacy that focuses on integrity, a footprint of integrity, or a legacy of honesty, a legacy of serving and giving and being a missionary, a legacy of hospitality, and all of those things are good. But the question is, what kind of footprint or a legacy really matters? What is it that really matters? Is it being honest? If that's how I die and everybody remembers me as, he was honest, man. Is that what I'm shooting for? Is that my goal? Or he was a great missionary. He led hundreds of people to the Lord. Is that my goal? Is that what I'm shooting for? Is that what I want on my tombstone? Is that what I want people to remember me for? But first, I want us to recognize that God created us. When he created us with legacy in mind. He had a legacy plan for each one of us in mind as he planted those seeds in our hearts. He didn't just create us and then go, well, I wonder what I'm going to do with her, what I'm going to do with him. He created, as he was forming us, he already had the blueprint over here of legacy, of what your life, what my life, what our lives would equal in his kingdom. And then he planted that seed in our hearts. And I would say that it isn't a carbon footprint, it isn't a digital footprint. Rather, God has designed us, created us, to leave a legacy that honors him, that honors the gift giver, that glorifies the Creator, that glorifies Jesus as the Savior. See, God created us with the seeds of greatness in our hearts, inside of each and every human being. We weren't created to just live average lives, not one person. I'm not just talking about believers. I'm talking about all of mankind. Not one person was created to just live an average, just get by, unfulfilling, unattractive, unrewarding life. See, I used to think that legacy, people with great legacies like Jim Elliot, that God gave them that legacy, kind of like God gives gifts, and that Jim had that legacy because God gave it to him. But see, the gift that God gave him was that seed of legacy in his heart, and Jim jumped on it. And he worked hard, and he sacrificed, and he took risks, and he sacrificed more, and he poured out his life into the gift that God had given him. He didn't take his life for granted. Jim's legacy was because the gift that God had put into him, Jim took advantage of that. And that's the same seed that's been put into each and every one of our hearts. If we will possess it, if we'll make it our own, if we'll say, this is my legacy, and then we dive on top of it, and we work hard, and we sacrifice, and we die to ourselves, we lay our selfish desires aside, and we begin to pursue, what does God want to do with my life? When he created me, what did he create me to do and to be? I think too often we short-circuit ourselves. We sabotage our own legacies. I was speaking with a man yesterday over breakfast. He's my mentor. And I said to him, you know, I used to think that, and I've kind of gone through a season where I thought that you reach 50, 60 years old, and life just goes, it kind of goes nominal like this. Because I said to him, I see things in my life and in my heart that I really don't like. But now at 53 years old, they feel like they're in cement. They feel like they're not going to ever change. And so there's this, there's a temptation to stop pressing into God. There's a temptation to just let life flatline and to quit pressing in and to quit possessing the inheritance that God has given to each and every single one of us. And the truth is that God has given us and put in our hearts that seed, and it's our responsibility then to possess it and to make it ours. Of course, we can't do it in our own strength, and God has to come with us on the journey, but it's our responsibility to possess our inheritance. See, it's going to mean we're going to have to risk, take risks, step out in faith and in trust. We need to leave our comfort zones. That's not a very popular topic. And as soon as I say that, I know some of us are going, I don't like leaving my comfort zone. Actually, I like my comfort zone a lot. I want to stay right here. And quite honestly, I kind of like my legacy right where it's at. I'm not sure if I want to risk. I'm not sure if I want to sacrifice. I'm not sure if this is going to feel good. And yet this is what it takes for us to have a legacy that lasts. It's going to require us to fight. It's going to be difficult. And yet this is the inheritance that God has given us. It's interesting when you look at the Jewish people. God said to the Jewish people, I'm giving you the whole promised land. This is your inheritance. You can have the whole thing. All you have to do is go in and possess it. And he said to them a very interesting phrase in the book of Joshua. He says to Joshua, everywhere you put your foot, I will go with you and I'll give you that territory. In other words, there's this picture that wherever they stepped physically, that territory became theirs. All they had to do was possess it. But what did that mean? That meant they had to fight. That meant they had to sacrifice. That meant they had to give up their lives of comfort to possess the very gift that God was giving them, their inheritance. That land that God said is yours. The whole thing is yours. All you have to do is possess it. Now, they didn't do it in their own strength. God had to go along with them. He had to give them all of that territory. They couldn't do it in their own strength. But they had to participate with God in the possession of that inheritance. See, God has given us a very real spiritual and physical inheritance, property that belongs to us in his name. Areas of our lives that we're responsible for before God to take responsibility over and to possess in the name of the Lord, to stake our territory, if you will. These areas include our careers, our jobs, our businesses, our families, our marriages. They include our children, our callings, and much, much more than this. In fact, I would say that the territory that God has given each one of us is far, far greater than most of us can even comprehend. Because most of us, like the children of Israel, as soon as we started possessing that territory and fighting for that territory, we realized, ooh, this isn't easy. This kind of hurts. This is a lot of work. And it takes a lot of energy, and I have to fight for this, and I don't know if I'm ready for that. And a fight is a fight. There's no getting around it. It isn't easy. But God is with us. See, this is the picture that God wants us to have. He wants us to possess our inheritance, our territory, the legacy that he's given to each one of us. But he doesn't make us do it on our own. He goes in front of us and behind us and on our sides, and he is our defense. He is that strength when we don't have any strength. And in our weakness, he is our strength. Because in the end, it isn't about us. It isn't whether or not we were great and mighty Christians that possessed our inheritance and made a great legacy for ourselves. Because in the end, if it's about me, if my legacy is about me, then I've missed the mark. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about the gift of Jesus. God's plans for us are the territory that he has created for us. In many cases, it's the dreams that he's placed in our hearts. The dreams that come in the middle of the night, those things that drive us, those passions that we go after. He wants us to possess those things and to move into them and to bring them under his rule and his authority, because his legacy matters to us. His legacy matters to him. When he planted those seeds of legacy in each one of our hearts, as we begin to see them develop, as he planted those there and they begin to develop, he wanted them to grow to honor him. He said to the Jewish people very clearly as they went in to possess the land, this land is yours and I'm going to give it to you, but it isn't about you. It's so that I will be honored. It's so that the nations of the world will see this and they'll know who I am. That's why God gives us a legacy. It isn't for our own sakes. It isn't so that we'll have a name in the earth. It isn't so that people will think that we're amazing. I imagine if Jim Elliot was standing here with us right now, he wouldn't talk about himself. He wouldn't talk about the sacrifices he made. He wouldn't talk about all the long, hard nights of studying Spanish and studying Aka. He wouldn't talk about any of those things related to himself. You know what he would talk about? He's going to be talking about Jesus and what Jesus did in his heart and the value of that relationship to him. That's what he would be talking about, because he knows that it's not about him. So what kind of legacy is the footprint that matters? I believe that God's given us a standard. And though this is going to sound cliche, if you'll just follow along with me for just a moment, God gives us a picture that we can look at in living color, a living legacy that he gives to us in the life of his son Jesus. The standard that's been set for us is in the life of Jesus. And we see Jesus in his life and in the words that he said, very clearly stating that it isn't about him. It's about the Father. And it's about honoring and loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and loving one another. This is what Jesus' example was and is to us. So check this out. If my legacy is about me, if it's about how much I've given, if it's even a legacy full of integrity, but it's still about me, then I've missed the mark. God wants us, in everything that we do, our legacies to point to him, to point to the God, the creator of all the earth, the amazing God that established his love in my heart. That's what my legacy needs to point to. So if I'm a man full of integrity, that's fantastic. As long as I don't get the glory, as long as the legacy isn't about me. See, God didn't put us on the earth to see how big or small our carbon mark would leave. Rather, he wants us to be good stewards of the legacy that he's planted in each one of our hearts, that seed of eternity that he's planted and given to each one of us. And to do this, we need to see our lives through the lens of eternity. We can't continue to look at our lives as these finite earthly beings. We need to see our lives through an eternal lens. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees me. It's how God sees all mankind and the seeds that he's planted into each and every one of their hearts. We need to think generationally, because legacy isn't about the here and the now. The legacy is about the later, the next generation. We need to see that the way that we're living today is the gift that we give to the next generation. The things that we do in our lifetime, whether we see it or not, they can and they will be the huge impact that impacts the generations after us and all of eternity. And even as I say that, I don't really understand it. I don't know how my legacy and your legacy and Jim Elliott's legacy is going to impact eternity, but I believe it will, because God is an eternal God, and that seed that he planted in our hearts for legacy is an eternal seed. It isn't just for the here and the now. Ultimately, legacy is about attitude and how we view our lives, how we view the gift that he's put in our heart, that seed that he planted there, how we view God's calling, our inheritance that he's given to each one of us. Over the last few months, we've been putting together a young marrieds class here at the church. And these are our newly married, young married couples. And we went to several older couples, and we asked them to come and help us do this. Phil and Sue Waters are one of those couples. And we invited them to be mentors. And the younger couples are asking us all the time, we want older couples to mentor us, to tell us how to do this, how to do marriage, how to do parenting, how to do life. And so we started going to older couples, and we said, look, we're getting ready to start this young marrieds class, and we'd love for you to come and be mentors. And I'm not kidding when I say this, without exception, not one exception, every single one of them said this to us. Well, we really don't have anything to offer. We really don't have anything to give. Each and every one of them said that. Well, I had to jump out of my skin several times. Oh, yes, you do. You have everything to offer. And especially in light of this, that gift that God has placed in your heart. See, each and every one of us says that exact same thing. I don't really have anything special to give to the Lord. I don't really have a very exciting legacy or gift to give. I want to jump out of my skin and say, oh, yes, you do. See, the seed that is inside of your heart is an eternal God-planted seed. It isn't about you. God put it in your heart. And he has a plan that he wants to use through you to bless the world, to change the world forever, for all eternity. That's a powerful statement. So often we sabotage our own legacies with our own bad attitudes. Well, I don't really have anything to give. I really don't think my life would really make a difference. I'm being sarcastic on purpose, because we all are there. And it's our attitude ultimately that's going to determine what kind of legacy we have. I'm going to say that one more time. It's our attitude ultimately that will determine what kind of legacy we're going to have. Ultimately, it determines the kind of footprint that we leave, and whether we leave a good footprint that matters for eternity or whether we don't. And it's based on our attitude. Charles Swindoll wrote this about attitude, and you can follow it up on the screen. He said, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact that attitude has on life. Attitude to me is more than important more important than facts. It's more important than the past, more important than education, more important than money, than circumstances. It's more important than failures. It's more important than successes. It's more important than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance and giftedness and skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do is play on the one string that we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I will react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. And so as we talk about our legacies, we're going to look at this a little bit more next week, and that idea of mentoring and of coaching the next generation. But the idea that I want to leave with you tonight is this. I want to challenge each and every one of us. What is your attitude about your life? What is your attitude about the gift that God has placed in your heart? Are you one of those people? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise your hand for you because I'm raising my hand for me. My life really doesn't matter. I really don't have very much that I can offer to the Lord. And that's not true. Or I'm too old. I'm already 45 years old, or I'm already 60 years old. Maybe I'm already 75 years old, and for me, life is pretty much over. You know what? It's not over until it's over. Because in God's economy, age doesn't matter at all. Whether I'm 4 or 14 or 40 or 400, age does not matter when it comes to my legacy and the gift, the seed he's placed in my heart. So I want to challenge you, challenge all of us, that the legacy that God has placed inside of our hearts, that inheritance that he's given to each and every one of us, that requires that we take a risk, requires that we sacrifice, requires that we're willing to fight for it and to possess every inch of that territory. That legacy is a gift that God has given to you. And your attitude is going to make that legacy come into full fruition. Sorry, I lost my word there. Your attitude is either going to make that come alive or it's not. And where we land on our attitude determines what our legacy is going to look like. Okay? So let's pray.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.